Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Penn State football gets three commitments yesterday, and I'm not even sure that's the number one story from what happened on Sunday. Ryan Snyder was a whirlwind day of commitments, prospect watch, camp watch, all kinds of great stuff. How you doing this morning so far, Ryan?
Doing well, man. Week one, weekend one, I guess you would say, of a fun 4 weeks for Penn State football fans. Obviously, this is the busiest week or busiest month of the year when it comes to recruiting. So this is when we get our company gets their money's worth, right? You know, for our payroll at least. This is when we get to work. So it was good, man. I thought yesterday was a pretty good camp. We'll get into that a little bit. You know, obviously this weekend worked out great for Penn State. Three new commitments. First defensive line commitment, which was really needed. Obviously another offensive lineman. We're gonna get into all of this, but you know, I think if you're Penn State's coaching staff right now, you're really happy with how it played out.
Yeah, that seemed like it was a very fruitful weekend. We might not even get into like reaction from some of the other players that didn't commit because there's so much stuff going on today. So make sure you subscribe to BlueWhiteIllustrated.com for all that information. Getting reaction from official visits from guys that very important players, but didn't, you know, as we just said, didn't commit yesterday. We're going to be focusing on those guys today, but more information coming. BlueWhiteIllustrated.com. And of course, subscribe here on our YouTube channel. We went to an impromptu live show yesterday, Ryan. We had so much stuff going on that we the regulars we didn't put out the bat signal early enough, so not everyone got here. But hopefully, you got all the information from you were looking for from yesterday's show. You can check that out. Friday show. We've had three recruiting shows within the span of 4 days. Let's start with yesterday's first commitment, and this is a very quick rising offensive line prospect from Florida, Derek Plaz. So you had a chance to speak to him just briefly, I think, yesterday. How do you feel like this one went down? Can you give us kind of the full picture on how his recruitment went down? Because this is a really quick recruitment from what I understand.
Yeah, I mean, speaking with him is not how I would phrase it. It was more of, hey, I'm running to camp right now. I want to get a quote in the story. Can you text me something? That's kind of really how that worked out. So I'll be honest, I really haven't interviewed Derek yet. You know, we'll circle back to that when things slow down a little bit later this week. But look, I mean, he came up here, just hit it off with the staff. I mean, you know, obviously he was only offered, a handful of weeks ago, right? So it is a quick commitment. I was a little surprised at how quick committed, just because, you know, if you look at some of the other visits he's taken, you know, there's clearly a very strong relationship with NC State. You know, he's visited there three or four times, you know, Duke, Miami, but obviously Penn State's also just a cut above those programs, you know, when it comes to, you know, just their stature in college football right now. So give a lot of credit for Troutwine for turning that one around quickly. True five position guy. You know, we're listing him as an offensive tackle right now, but 6'4", 275, a lot of similarities, you know, from what I understand, kind of to Donko, where he could, you know, truly play all five positions. So he's a guy, you know, and we're going to do the same thing with DeJuan Lane, right? Like DeJuan Lane doesn't talk at all either. So, you know, he's a guy that hopefully down the road a little bit, you know, for subscribers, we'll have a little more interviews with and things like that. But a quick turnaround, and I was really surprised with it. Just because he, like I said, those relationships with other schools were much more formed or compact or whatever you want to call it. Boom, comes up here and it's over.
Yeah. A lot of interesting, something I talked about yesterday during his commitment breakdown was NC State, great developer of offensive line recruits. Duke, obviously great academics. Miami, another football school. But Penn State, a good blend, I think, of all of those things. And Phil Troutwine's reputation as a developer of talent clearly starting to come through in certain areas. And I think an up-and-coming guy like Plaz, who has good physical ability, I think it's a big win for Penn State to get a guy like that when it's that kind of mad rush here at the end. In terms of his fit, I think you make a great point about you've got two tackles on the outside that are pure, like tall, long. They have the pure tackle build. But then Plaz can play on the outside, good length, good movement skills, but can kick inside. That's the sort of versatility that I think from the class perspective allows him to fit so well and make him an easy take for this offensive line. Six offensive linemen now in the class. How do you see this going forward now with presumably one tackle spot left? Would that be how you describe that?
Yeah, I mean, well, hey, Caleb Brewer worked out as an offensive lineman yesterday, right? So I think we got a better idea. And again, I mean, to clarify with Brewer, like, you know, I would always say it was most likely he would be an offensive lineman. I think ideally, just when I talk to people, like, Penn State would love for him to be a defensive lineman, and how he performs this year, you know, for his senior season will have a big impact on that. But him working out as an offensive lineman yesterday wasn't a big surprise. And you know, I'll have to reach out to some people to get a better feel for, you know, how he tested and things like that. But to answer your question though, yeah, I mean, I would look, they're not going to pass up on a Gerby Lambert, right? And even Kevin Haywood, you know, there's a lot of talk with Wisconsin and Haywood coming out of this weekend. We'll see. But, you know, there are certainly a handful of guys that they're not going to pass up on. Ethan Callaway is another one. He's coming up here in 2 weeks. So, yeah, I mean, if they can land one of those top offensive tackle prospects that they really have been recruiting for a long time, I don't see them passing that up. But at the same time, I wouldn't be shocked if this is your five, you know, plus potentially Brewer six offensive lineman in this class. So, but there's a lot of guys still out there, and
yeah,
you know, they're not going to give up on Kevin Haywood no matter what happens. I'll tell you that.
So as it stands right now, how do you feel about this class given what we know now, and kind of how all the pieces fit together? What do you see?
I think Egan Boyer is one of the most underrated guys in this class from talking to people, and they absolutely love Egan Boyer. And he's a guy that, I don't know. I don't believe we have too many testing numbers, but that, you know, he's a guy that I know Charles Power and I have talked about a good bit of someone he's going to be watching closely in the months ahead. Garrett Sexton, we've talked how many times have we talked about Garrett Sexton? I mean,
quite a bit.
The potential is through the roof, right? But he's, yeah, I think only played offensive line for what, a year now, right? So he's a guy that, I don't know, high ceiling that without a doubt, you know, where's his floor? It's kind of hard to say still. Cooper Cousins is Cooper Cousins, right? You're probably the known commodity in this class, mm-hmm. right? The guy that, probably your safest bet in a lot of ways, right? You know, as far as his floor and you know, yep. I absolutely expect Cooper Cousins to be a multi-year player at Penn State. And then Donovan Harbor, as we've hit on multiple times, right? Sophomore Donovan Harbor, junior Donovan Harbor, there's a little bit of a different player there. You know, I think Penn State wants him to come in, lose a little bit of weight because, man, we saw before he added that weight how well he moved. And not that he doesn't move well bigger, but, you know, Penn State would rather him, you know, just like I said, trim a couple pounds and move as well as he did when he was younger. So I think it's a good class. I mean, right? I mean, I don't know if we can compare it to last year's class. It was all four-star players, right? I mean, Chimney Onu comes in late and, you know, really rises. But I'm really curious to see where Egan Boyer ends up because I feel like Egan Boyer is the one guy in this class right now that is really kind of being slept on a bit. I think Sexton, Cooper, Donovan, they're all rated pretty properly. And then Caleb Brewer too. Like, let's see how he does this season, you know, how he develops as a defensive lineman to an offensive lineman. And then I think he can give a better answer on what Brewer's potential is.
Yeah, a great point about that in terms of Garrett Sexton being I think probably rated by On3 overall, still a little bit of a dark horse. This is a group of players though that little bit underrated, a little bit in terms of like under the radar. I think you make a great point. Speaking of under the radar, DeJuan Lane commits to Penn State. I doubt you have any more information than you did previously based on what you just said earlier, but Penn State gets a soft safety commit. I said this the other day, without much drama, But is that the way you would describe this without knowing like the behind the scenes stuff?
I can't describe anything. I don't know anything about Bowling Lane. Like, there's no, you know, when you sent me the rundown earlier today, I was like, I don't know what we're going to say here. He doesn't, you know, he just hasn't really done any interviews or anything like that. You know, what we know is that he's been coveted by the staff for a long time. They love his length. We talked about him in the other pod the other day. You know, Dex loves long safeties who can move, and DeJuan Lane fits that perfectly. So outside of that, you know, it's kind of hard to say. He's definitely going to be one of those guys that I have to go down to Gilman at some point to sit down with, and maybe we can do that a little later this summer and get a better feel for things. But, you know, it's I know he went to Notre Dame in April, Penn State last November, did a road trip with Southern schools last summer. And man, outside of that, I don't know if anybody can really pinpoint, you know, that they know the ins and outs of this recruitment. It's just been one of those guys who just, yeah. And hey, I totally respect it, right? Like, I can only imagine what it's like getting calls from all those coaches and texts. I mean, Penn State literally texts their top guys like every single day. So then when you have someone like me bugging you for quotes and interviews, like I totally understand why some guys aren't into that. So hopefully, like I said, well, I mean, he's definitely going to be a guy we go and watch a game this season. You know, hopefully I can get down to Gilman before that and sit down with him and, you know, learn those details.
On Sunday in the afternoon, Penn State picked up one of the guys we've talked about the most at defensive tackle, I think. Xavier Gilliam commits to the Nittany Lions. Another interesting positional ranking here. On3 ranks him as an edge, 6'2", 260 pounds, 49th overall player in the edge class, 19th in Maryland, 755th player nationally in the industry ranking. And if you can see here on the YouTube channel, On3 a little bit lower than that on him in terms of his overall ranking in our internal rankings at 69 overall instead of 49 overall. But Penn State really likes Xavier Gilliam from what you and I have had this conversation about. So first defensive tackle on the board, despite being an edge, how do you see this fit? How do you see how he, you know, came to Penn State?
Well, that first off, I mean, his profile is going to get changed here. I was already talking to him about it this past week. You know, we learned Gilliam committed Saturday night during dinner. So, you know, Saturday night and the Sunday, I was working with our database team trying to get that changed. It, just the way it works to change that stuff, you got to, with all the, you know, the rankings, right? You got to move guys around. It's just not as simple as, you know, changing his profile to, you know, D-line instead of edge. So it's going to get changed here, I think, in the coming days. But, you know, Gilliam has long been that guy that Penn State just turns on the film and they love it. And that's the one consistent thing that everybody's been telling me is, you know, look at his size, 6'2", 260. You know, I think people think, oh, he's a little undersized. But the kid's just has that chip on his shoulder. They love everything about, you know, who he is as a player, you know, flipping that switch and really getting after it. I mean, I've had so many people, because I know I always ask, I'm like, you know, you got Benedict Ume, you got all these other top-ranked guys, like, is Xavier someone that you would, you know, wait on or ever? And I always get like a you know, like, why would we ever do that? You know, like, just kind of question me. And obviously they know more than I do. You know, we have highlight films. They have massive amounts of complete game film. So they get to see a lot more than we do, of course. But no, I mean, they Xavier was always going to be a take no matter what. Penn State's really happy to get him on board. You know, talking to him yesterday, you know, he was saying about how he's, you know, excited for Deion Barnes, excited to be his first commitment, and excited to get recruiting now for Penn State too. I think from a personality perspective, Xavier Gilliam could very well end up being one of the best recruiters in this class, just the way he is, you know, with the media and things like that. I wouldn't say he's, you know, an aggressive personality who's just going to be going out of his way. But as he gets to know more of these defensive linemen, you know, I expect Xavier Gilliam to be somebody popping up in, you know, a future interview with whomever, you know, as somebody he spoke with a lot.
You did see him in person at the Under Armour camp, and I do want to get into this because there has been some conversation since then about a little bit smaller than we were expecting. So can you go into just kind of what you saw and what you observed at that camp?
Yeah, he's 6'2", 260. That's what we have him listed at. You know, if you look at some other guys, you know, who are usually 6'3", 6'4", 280, you know, just from that perspective, just not quite as tall as some other guys. But, you know, I don't think there's really much more than that. I don't think Penn State really cares about that. They see a mm-hmm. player who's very well technical, or very good technically. Excuse me, I'm exhausted. And they see he fits the program really well and a lot of those other things. So I don't. You know, we talked about a little bit. It just, I thought he was a little taller than what he was, but I don't think Penn State really cares about that at all. Every time I brought it up, it's, you know, it's not really a discussion with them. So they're happy to have him. And, you know, at Under Armour, he worked out as an edge. So we didn't really get to watch him as much as what, you know, what he could bring as a defensive line or, you know, interior defensive lineman. So, you know, I don't want to put a ton of stock in the Under Armour camp because again, he was, you know, trying to rush off the edge and do spin moves off the right end. And, you know, that's just not what we're going to see down the road.
Yeah, I think a couple things point out that kind of jump out to me when watching his film originally. And I'm excited to, as you said, to dive into as much of his full game film as possible, because what stands out to me is like this is a traditional Penn State defensive tackle prospect where he's a bit of a tweener at the high school level. He plays mostly on the interior, but he is going to grow into being a defensive tackle. He's got the movement skills. He's got the fluidity of his you know, overall athleticism. I really like this as that three technique. You know, as you can see here, this is a bit of an older, he's 6'2", 260, as you mentioned, but critically 33-inch arms. So we talk about height, we talk about length all the time, and he has elite length for the interior. And you mentioned great technically, uses his hands really well. And when you have that combination of great pad level, strength for his size, technique, and arm length, you get a guy that's going to dominate on film. And that's what you see here on his highlight film, where he is almost unblockable. He's got the size, the penetration, everything you want from a Penn State defensive tackle prospect. It's going to take him some time to grow into his body. But I've been a fan of Gilliam for a while. I was a little bit nervous when you're like, hey, he's not quite as big as we thought at the Under Armour camp, because he's right on that line of 6'2". But the length is the thing, I think, that confirms this, that he is absolutely a defensive tackle prospect. And Penn State gets one of their top prospects on the board to commit and not take any other official visits. So this is, I think, a huge gift for Penn State to start this class. Where do they go, I guess, from here? Because there's a lot of good guys left on the board. There's a lot of names that they can draw from. How do you feel like Penn State has positioned itself out of the first weekend?
Well, I'd be curious to see Amaris Williams. You know, he North Carolina defensive lineman, came up this weekend, hearing a lot of positive talk about that visit. He is going to go to Florida here soon, and we'll have a better feel after that Florida visit. But, you know, there was a lot of talk Saturday night, Sunday about, you know, Amaris Williams potentially being the guy that Penn State helped himself the most this weekend. So I think he's absolutely a name we'll keep an eye on. You know, I'm certainly trying to do an interview with him here in the coming days. David Polipoli, of course, was up this weekend as well. You know, I still kind of think he's going to end up at Michigan. Family supposedly, you know, really enjoyed their time up here. And you know, Polipoli would fit Penn State really well. The issue is when Michigan's the team you're recruiting against, like they're very similar schools and what they sell, and, you know, their vision, I guess, for players. So we'll see. You know, he's going to Michigan this upcoming weekend. We'll get a better feel after that. But, you know, you got Benedict Ume out there. He's still the white whale, right? You know, the one you're really pushing for and you need to get in this class. Nigel Smith, I think, is being recruited more as a defensive end. 6'4", 265, though. Like, it doesn't, you know, he's to me, he's more of an interior guy. But I think he wants to play edge, and that's how Penn State's going to recruit him. So, of course, he's the, you know, four-star prospect out of Melissa, Texas. He'll be up this upcoming weekend as well. So, you know, there's a lot of interior guys that are still out there. DeAndre Cook, too. I didn't mention DeAndre Cook, of course, from D.C. Cook was the one at the Under Armour camp that I think stood out to Sean and I the most, just because of – well, I wouldn't say stood out to us most, but just during one-on-one drills, you know, he actually played as a defensive lineman and was probably one of the best interior guys at that camp. But, you know, there's plenty of guys. Look, they need to get at least two more interior guys. I think they would take even three more interior guys if the chips fell properly. So this is a year where they need to stack up on D-line talent. You know, the thing it always comes back to, though, is, you know, if you look at the board right now, like Ume is the only, like, top of the board kind of guy, and those are the kind of difference makers that I know Penn State's been searching, coveting for years now. So you got to get Ume. I think it's incredibly important. You have to land him. They have a great tradition, or a great history with recruiting Canadian players and developing Canadian players. So they got to use that to their advantage. You know, they have, he goes to a school where they have good ties at Avon. So, man, he's incredibly important. If you can get him and fill it in with a Namaris Williams or DeAndre Cook, I think you're really happy with the way things play out.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All this recruiting talk. You know one guy I know that would love recruiting talk, and that is the sponsor of today's show and the sponsor of the BWI Recruiting Show, Andy Ludicky, and he is the owner and operator of My Perfect Franchise. MyPerfectFranchise.net is a franchise consultation company that if you're looking to build a legacy, maybe get out of your current job, maybe you're a corporate executive that is tired of everything that comes along with being a corporate executive, and you want to have a little more independence in your life, a little more flexibility, a little more control over your financial future, this is what Andy wants to do for you. He is a longtime Rivals 247 and now On3 message board member. He's been with Shannon Terry, the owner of the company, since the very beginning. And back in during the pandemic, during 2020, with all the disruption that happened, all the layoffs, all the confusion, he saw a lot of guys just like him that were in a situation where they didn't know what was going to happen with their future. So in order to take more control of that, something he had been doing in his life is franchise ownership. And he decided he was going to help people. And so literally this company grew out of the message board community. So if you are Blue White Illustrated message board member, this is somebody that knows and relates to a lot of who you are, and he wants to help you if you're interested. So check out My Perfect Franchise. Andy Ludicky, franchise consultant, extensive experience now placing people with a perfect franchise to manage based on their information, income, interest, you know, because what you're going to do your best job managing something in a company that you either know about or you're interested in. So he can help you with all those things. Call him at 404-973-9901 or Andy at myperfectfranchise.net. You can also talk to him on the BWI message board. So if you respond to the thread for this show and you tag him in the post, you can get in contact with him. You can message him there as well. He wants to talk to you. And we appreciate him sponsoring the live show. Okay, so that's half of what happened yesterday. The second half of what happened yesterday is Penn State's first camp of the summer. The guy we came in checking out in terms of this is somebody we needed to follow because of the storylines going around, Peter Gonzalez. So Ryan, please set up for us why Peter Gonzalez was important yesterday for Penn State recruiting and why it was an important day for Gonzalez.
Well, they need wide receivers. Let's start there, right? It's right. You know, defensive line and receiver are probably the two most important positions. Excuse me, still out there. You know, Peter's recruitment. I feel for Peter because he's a great player and he had a pretty bad knee injury his sophomore year. Missed a good chunk of that, and then missed the beginning of his junior year. Really came back strong though last year. Really played well down the stretch, I thought, and. You know, the big question was speed, right? Like what does he run? You know, he runs track this year, puts up some good times, you know, but this, I think it was his first year running track. So, you know, nothing like a, no 10 sevens or anything like that. But long story short, he goes through the UC report camp in New Jersey a couple of weeks ago, miserable conditions, right? I mean, rainy, windy all day, runs a 4.5 and boom, you know, really, I'm not going to say Penn State didn't have interest before because he's been up here multiple times. I mean, Terry Smith, you know, been recruiting him for a long time. But I think getting a valid, verified time really kind of helped in this recruitment. And I'm sure it's going to probably other schools are going to notice as well. So long story short, comes up to Penn State yesterday, pretty much repeats all the times that he had at that UC report camp. Yep. I thought he looked pretty well during field drills. You watched him a little bit more than I did. I think I sat in my car half the camp yesterday writing Xavier Gilliam stories and notebooks and things like that. So, you know, obviously you got to watch more than I did yesterday. But, you know, when it comes to the testing perspective, which I think is a large chunk of what Penn State wanted to see. He did pretty well yesterday. I mean, all those times were pretty much backed up with what we saw at the UC report. Ran another 4.5-ish again. Yep. You know, I don't have the actual triple jump numbers. I know he had the best triple jump, which measures explosion, right? And I mean, yes. The broad jump, triple jump are always really important drills. And I know he was the top of the board there too. So we'll see. We'll get some feedback from, you know, sources of whatnot on how he did and how Penn State saw his on-field work. But, you know, from what we saw, I think he had a pretty good day.
Yeah. The only thing, and if you're watching on the YouTube channel, the only drill where I thought he kind of showed a little bit of weakness was, you know, that square drill where they're measuring how well do you turn and how well do you do like a 90 degree cut when you're, if you're coming and doing an in route or an out route, you have to be able to stop hard and turn. And that was really the only area where I thought he showed really any weakness in his game, because if you watch it on film, and I apologize, I don't have his film, his huddle film up here, but explosive football player off the line of scrimmage for as big as he is, 6'2", 198 pounds, physical player. And he showed all of that. And then with the 40 time, to me, that was the only question, as you mentioned, coming in of, is he a Penn State prospect? Is he a guy that can play at Penn State? And with the knee injury and coming back from that, I thought he did an excellent job. Good hands, big hands too, which I think is really important. And then as you saw there at the end of the show, or at the end of that highlight video, he did a private workout with Marcus Higgins to kind of go over some other stuff. It seemed kind of get some catching drill stuff working afterwards. So good sign for him. Another thing that I thought was a good sign, you and I were watching the one-on-ones. Suddenly, he's not competing anymore, and he's standing over talking to some of the Penn State players. So it seemed like he was, put up 140, did a great job, did a two or three one-on-ones, did a good job, and it seemed like it was an excellent day for Peter, who has an official visit later this summer. So I guess the transition from he did what he needed to do on Sunday to, I think, be in serious consideration. We 17 commits in the class right now. Nick Marsh has an RPM pick from Chad Simmons in for Penn State, another big-bodied wide receiver. How many big-bodied guys are they going after this year, knowing that they've got almost all of their targets are still on the board, even if all of their targets are committed to other schools right now?
Right. I mean, Chance Robinson, right, comes up this weekend. You know, I haven't interviewed Chance yet, but certainly a lot of good feedback from that. He's committed to Miami at the moment, but I think Florida is also very much in the mix there as well. So he's a guy that I think I'm hoping I can get an interview with him here in the next 48 hours or so, but I think in the coming days, I'll say a couple weeks, we'll have a good feel for that. I mean, I think he's committed to Miami, but I think there's a real chance he could flip. And I'm not saying it would definitely be Penn State. Like the talk I've had with people is that Florida is very much in the mix there as well. So just something to keep an eye on. But they love Chance Robinson. Great kid. You know, we talked about this on Friday, right? I mean, they think he's someone who would really fit this program well. And him and Nick Marsh are absolutely those top two guys right now. And Peter Gonzalez is certainly moving himself into that discussion. You know, you have Dre Hawkins as well. You had Jalen Hornsby, who was just up this weekend. I'm actually going to interview Jalen here in, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes. Like pretty, basically, as soon as we're done with this podcast, I'm going to speak with him. So we'll have that coming up, later today. Jalen's very much in the mix. There's a few others as well. But I think it is another one where I think they'd really love to take four. But you're getting into a situation now, right, where your class is filling up. You got 17 commitments. And, you know, I could realistically see 10 more. Like 27 is a realistic number. Could they get to 28? That wouldn't shock me. Anything beyond 28 would be pretty surprising. So, you know, we're talking about 3-4 wide receivers, and, you know, they still don't have it. They need at least one or two edges, probably two more D linemen. Well, there you're talking about seven or so players alone. And, you know, they could use another safety. They could use another linebacker. We're talking Troutwine wants another tackle.
Got 10 offensive linemen, making it hard to get some other positions in this class.
right. So, we'll see. I mean, Jameer Grimsley's coming up this weekend, right?
Yeah.
Incredibly important corner. So it's a good problem to have for Penn State. And, you know, I think every year we do this, right? We're trying to figure out how all these players could fit, and they always make it work. Of course, some of these guys will fall through, but I think Chance Robinson, definitely keep an eye on him and Nick Marsh as well.
So I want to share this here on screen. This is something that I worked on last week. I spent almost an entire day looking at all the receivers, not only what they are, but like how they fit on the board. And this is what I put together in terms of positional breakdown, as well as where they rank in their individual positions. So for those that don't know, the X receiver position, the Z receiver position, and then the slot receiver position. X receivers, big bodied guys, they play on the short side of the field, one-on-one physical guys. Speed's great if you can have it for that position, just giving you a quick breakdown of the different skills. Z receivers, interestingly, as I've been digging into some of this stuff and looking at some of the advanced data, Z receivers are kind of the lead receiver in college football because they play on the field side, and you want to take advantage of that space. It is an advantage for the offense. So, but Penn State has gotten way too many Z receivers where, as you can see, I put down a secondary position for all these guys. Too many Z receivers that are slot receivers and not enough guys that can play on the outside, where if they don't work on the outside at one of the positions, they can flip to the other. Penn State's been flipping a lot of guys into the slot. So with what we saw from Peter Gonzalez, his film is good. The testing numbers check out. Penn State could literally get three of their top three realistic X receivers in this class with Nick Marsh, Jalen Hornsby, Peter Gonzalez. Like, I think it's a I don't want to say it's a shoe-in that Hornsby's going to be a Nittany Lion, but all the signs point to that. Nick Marsh already has several RPM picks in for him to be a Nittany Lion, and Peter Gonzalez, you know, if Penn State is serious about pursuing him, I think that this is huge for the Nittany Lions this year with Marcus Higgins. This isn't all of their top targets that are Z receiver or X receivers. Like, if Ryan Wingo was interested in being a Nittany Lion, he would be at the top of this list. There's some guys that, you know, this is the realistic list, but out of their realistic X receivers, they could get their top three on this list. And I think that, you know, with a couple guys down here, Thomas McCoy as well is a guy that has some of that position flexibility. So then you go into, you still want to take some of those other guys. Chance Robinson, I think, could play X. He plays X in high school, but he's a, just because of the body type and they want to get bigger. Chance Robinson, to me here, I put him as a Z receiver because he's 6'1", a bit more of a complete combo type receiver. And then a guy that I think might have the best film of anybody on this list outside of Robinson is Rico Scott, who I know that they're going to pursue until the very end, until the sun explodes, to try and get him away from Alabama, because he is an excellent in-state prospect. I think he's a super prospect that is not getting enough attention. So there's five guys right there that I think you could make a chance. You can make a case are like priority receivers. And we didn't even talk about slot receivers like Tysier Denmark and Jeray Hawkins. So the board is full of, I think, realistic guys that they can take. So that's going to be very interesting what they prioritize when they're going through all of this. And you know, some of these guys they'd have to flip, but can you get those guys? I think it sets up really well. Where before, little murky about this stuff, but with Gonzalez working out and with Nick Marsh trending towards Penn State, this puts the Nittany Lions in a great position heading into the summer at receiver, where it was a bit, I feel like it was a bit tedious. It was a bit on the edge there. It was teetering on the edge this spring.
For the record, everybody, I did not have my thing or my laptop charged, and T Frank did an incredible job filling a minute of space there. I just want to give you props because that was my dumb fault. I had to run upstairs, grab my charger. Good job, T Frank. That was a great job filling space there. But no, I mean, you're right with everything you said there. You know, one other, I mean, they're pushing hard to try and get Rico Scott up here at some point. Yeah. I don't know if it's going to happen this month. He's committed to Alabama, right? So be careful, right, kid, you know, on potentially, but they're still trying with Rico. You know, we'll see where things go. You know, there are some names in Florida that we, you know, we'll keep to the message board right now that they're chipping away at. You know, wouldn't be shocked at all if that final weekend in June, you know, there's a kid or two popping up that we're not really talking about right now, but that they're pushing for, you know, especially in Florida, man, there's like 100+, you know, quality players down there, and like 40 of them are like athletes, right? So there's going to be like this random name in Florida that's going to pop up at some point. Just wait for it.
Somebody asked me the other day, is a 3-star in Florida better than a 3-star in Pennsylvania? And like, I was thinking about it, it's like, no, you know, because like if you're a 3-star athlete that's a little bit raw, and there's a bunch of guys like Caleb Brewer is a great athlete. Like, he's a really good athlete. I wonder if I have a picture of him here from yesterday, but he's 290 pounds of pure muscle. Like, he is a really well-built kid, and he moves really well. He is really strong by all accounts. So, I you know, that as far as a three-star, in Florida, that's a competitive three-star. I think he's better than some of the three and four-star offensive line prospects that Penn State was in on from Florida. But the depth of guys in Florida, like 119 in Florida, is very different than 119 in Pennsylvania. So I guess if you said on average is a three-star prospect in Florida better than a Pennsylvania three-star prospect, I think the depth of talent there in that low four to high three-star range, that is where you can get some of those underrated guys that are super athletic that can kind of pop up and surprise you.
For sure. I mean, the one thing I'll add too is like you know, Florida has like spring practices and stuff like that, you know, and that stuff matters. You know, there's a reason all these colleges do spring practice. A lot of Southern schools have spring practices. That stuff adds up, you know, when it just comes to you know, more time to train and things like that. And the depth there alone, you know, you like there aren't too many leagues in Florida where like you're not playing at least one or two division. If it's not Division I FBS, it's, you know, FCS level, you know, on any given night, where, you know, up here, you know, I'll just take the local schools, for example. I'm in Harrisburg, but, you know, there's a handful of Division I guys, but every team you're playing doesn't have, you know, one or two guys that are going to go anywhere from a Delaware to a Penn State level. So I think that's kind of the difference there as well. But, I mean, hey, man, there's great athletes all over the country, right? You just got to find them. And, you know, that's why we try and find these testing numbers all the time to figure out how good these athletes actually are.
Yeah. See Paul King in the chat. He says, great job, guys, donating to the channel. Always appreciate that. My guy, you make my day. Thank you so much. And thank you for the kind words. We have a question here from Xander. Coming off official visit weekend, he asked, do you think Penn State is leading with Chris Cole? What do you know about that situation, having not had a chance to talk to Chris?
No, but, I did.
Oh, you did? Oh, great.
Yeah.
So what do you got that you want to share here?
Yeah, well, T Frank, I can tell you've been out of it because I posed that like 7 this morning. So I know you've been prepping for the show all day. You've been sending me, you sent me a rundown like 2 hours ago. So we're trying to catch up after camp yesterday. So your excuse on that one, buddy. I posted a story on Chris this morning. We talked late last night. Look, I think this is a situation where if Georgia's going to take him, he's going to go to Georgia. And how can you fault a kid right now for, you know, if Georgia wants you, I don't know how you can really poke holes in that, just because of obviously, one, what they're doing on the field and winning and all that stuff. But two, you know, Georgia's one of those schools that are just developing guys. Like, you cannot play at Georgia for 3 years and then play your final two and end up being a first round draft pick. Like, that's just,
you can play part time on that defense and get drafted in the first round. Half of their defense plays 400 snaps a year and goes in the first round.
Right. So we're going to find out here in 2 weeks. He goes to Georgia in 2 weeks. He has a visit to Miami as well for the final week. He was supposed to go to Notre Dame this upcoming weekend. That's not happening now. Talking about Tennessee and VaTech. So those are the big takeaways. I mean, you know, visit went well, hung out with Tony Rojas, enjoyed the guys, you know, all the normal talk that you hear from players coming out of these visits. But I mean, I think the main thing is, yeah, Penn State has a real chance if Georgia fills up at linebacker. But, you know, at the end of the day, if he gets down there for that visit, he sits down with Kirby Smart on whether that be June 18th, I believe it is, so two Sundays from now, and Kirby's, you know, down to take him, it's hard for me to not seeing that happen.
Yeah, and that's going to be that linebacker spot, if it's just one, given that we talked about maybe 6 receivers, 7 offensive linemen, 7 defensive linemen, like, you got to cut places somewhere, and that linebacker spot might be one of the areas where Penn State just takes one more. And, you know, I that's going to be something I'm very interested to watch for the rest of the summer, given the other linebacker prospects they have on the board. Let's shift our focus back to camp, though. Other guys that stood out to you and me, we'll go down some of the names that some odds and ends as well in terms of things we found out yesterday from practice. Let's start with Caleb Brewer, because as you mentioned, going through camp as an offensive lineman, not surprising, but it is notable that he was an offensive lineman yesterday.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, I don't think – did Caleb test yesterday? I mean, I haven't seen – I mean, you know, we saw him run a 40 or two, but I don't know that he tested T-Frank. I didn't hear any testing numbers, at least. I don't know what feedback we have from that perspective. But the big takeaway is, yeah, he worked out as an offensive lineman. And for however many weeks now, you know, we've been saying D-line's a possibility, O-line. You know, I think when he committed, Sean and I basically were saying like 60% chance, 70% chance he's an O-lineman. you know, 30-40% chance he's a D-line. And it's kind of a situation where he's a good athlete. They're not going to pass up on the best athletes in Pennsylvania. But, you know, there were times last year where his defensive line film was as impressive or more than his O-line film. And, you know, remember, he basically was a tight end for them, but they run a wing T. So, you know, we got to see him, you know, really run a lot. And you know, he's certainly, like I said, a very good athlete. So I just think it's going to be a situation where they're going to see where he develops this year and kind of go from there. But working out as an O-lineman wasn't a surprise because I figured that's kind of where they would lean. But again, it's, you know, they like what he brings there athletically. And, you know, they need athletic guys on that defensive side as much or more than the offensive side right now when you look at who they brought in last year and so on.
Yeah, I think it's just, if you watch the video again, I was marveling at these while missing offensive linemen, because Javon Williams was the same way of like, how is that dude so like big and moves so well? And Caleb Brewer he's a unit. This dude is 6'4", 85 to 90 pounds, and he is trim. Like, he is a fit guy with defined muscular structure. This isn't a baby-faced guy he is going to be an effective football player on one of the offensive or defensive lines. It's just, you know, where is that skill set with some of his limitations from a frame perspective? Where's that going to fit best? I think that's going to be, to me, that determines a lot of how you hide some of those things is going to and accentuate the strengths is the best way you can do that. But as an athlete, you mentioned defensive tackles in Penn State's defense, they got to be able to move. You have got to be able to get to the second level as a guard as well.
Mm-hmm. And just one thing I want to add too is Caleb Brewer is a really good wrestler too. And they really like some of that leverage that they've seen in him as a wrestler. And that, you know, it doesn't translate offensively, but I think sometimes it could help, you know, with your hands and knowing leverage, it helps a little bit more on the defensive side. I mean, Caleb, I believe, you know, he had some sort of injury. I don't know if it was his wrist or shoulder. I forget which one it was, but he had an injury that kept him out of like progressing through the state championship wrestling tournaments this year. I'm not sure where exactly he would have ranked and all that, but you know, I just know he had to cut his wrestling tournament short. And, you know, I'll be curious to see this upcoming year then, you know, what he's able to do in a state like Pennsylvania where, you know, wrestling is, you know, this is the best state in the country for wrestling. So just keep that in mind. You know, he's a very good wrestler, knows how to use leverage. And that's something that they really liked about Caleb. I mean, that was a big part of taking him.
What did we learn about Anthony Speca yesterday?
Yeah, Speca. So, you know, what's been the talk about Speca the whole time, right? You know, very good fundamentally, all those kind of things. But, you know, how fast is he? Came in, ran a 4.7 yesterday, which at 215 pounds is pretty damn good, guys. I was very happy to see what the kind of numbers that he put up, because he's never really tested before. He's never really done any camps. You know, he's been a guy that Penn State's been on for a very long time, but I don't think he's ever really gone to an Under Armour or the opening back in the day or any of those kind of things. So to run a 4.7, I thought was very good for Speca. Also had an excellent broad jump, just missed 10 feet. You know, Peter Gonzalez is the only guy there that hit 10 foot yesterday in the broad jump. And, you know, Speca was just a couple inches behind him. So, you know, what does the broad jump measure? It measures explosion. What's one of the most important positions for explosion? Linebacker. So linebacker, I thought he had a really... Yeah, I thought
that
he had a really good day.
Short area explosiveness. Sorry to cut you off. That short area explosiveness for a Mike linebacker is so important. And you're right. Like his explosive metrics, again, that matches what you see on film. Where are you certain he's fast sideline to sideline? Maybe not, but in the box, this is a guy that can get downhill quickly. And 215 it looked great. Like looked really good yesterday in terms of fitness level and ability to move. So again, some of those questions about size, movement skills, they're still there in terms of like the overall picture. This isn't a guy that's going to be Tony Rojas in terms of his overall profile with freak numbers, but really good for his position, really good for what he's going to be asked to do.
And that's why Tony Rojas and Abdul Carter are outside linebackers. You know, they're being asked to stretch the field. Anthony Speca is going to be asked to shut down the A and B gap, and obviously he'll drop in coverage and things like that. But, you know, what they want him to do is be that thumper to make sure, you know, short yardage situations, he's there. And, you know, again, not that a broad jump means he's going to be excellent at that, but you really like seeing the explosion from there. And, you know, fundamentally, he's always been, you know, very, very sound. So, I mean, there's a reason that Anthony Spezza was one of Manny Diaz's most important linebacker targets. I mean, I remember someone telling me, it was like last year, like if Spezza was a 2023 guy, like they would have taken him last year. It's kind of my point with that. Like, he's always been very high on Diaz's board. So just getting testing numbers was big, because we've never had them for Spezza. You know, I feel like he's kind of in that Egan Boyer mold right now, where he's one of the more underrated guys in this class. So being able to get testing numbers and sharing those with Charles and our rankings team, you know, that should only help him moving forward.
A quick note, I just want to take a quick pit stop. I was watching not just the players that were competing yesterday, but also the Penn State players. And this year's Drew Shelton Award of, oh, damn, he got a lot bigger, goes to Tony Rojas. Now, Drew Shelton was still there, and oh, damn, he got a lot bigger. But Tony Rojas, you know, he's standing there with Tamir Robinson. And at this point, I'm not sure which dude is bigger. It's amazing the transformation he's made since his senior year of high school to what he is right now, where he is full on linebacker mode. And he looks like he has been in the weight room. And James Franklin's comments about, I don't know how you gain 29 pounds of good weight that quickly, but he did it. That checks it. Like, eyeball test, that absolutely checks out.
Yeah, I mean, he's a legit 220 now. Came in at 190 something. You know, we'll say 195, rounding it out somewhere in that ballpark. But yeah, guys, Tony Rojas is going to be on the field this year, and it's going to be a lot of fun watching him, Curtis Jacobs, Abdul Carter. Oh man, football's so close. What are we, 90 days away? Let's go.
Other guys, Ethan Long was the guy we were talking about and following. So tell us what he did yesterday.
Yeah, really impressive looking safety prospect out of New England. I think he's going to be one of the next top prospects to come out of New England. Just look at some of his recent offers, guys. Pull up his Twitter feed, pull up his On3 profile. Notre Dame, Michigan were some of the more recent schools to jump on board. Penn State offered, you know, not too long ago as well. I think he has Michigan State, Maryland, a couple others. But the thing to know is, you know, he camped last year at Penn State, ran really well. Love his size, all that kind of stuff. I mean, checks out legit 6'2", 190-ish. Came up yesterday, didn't really improve on his 40 number, still like a 4.7 guy, which again, he's young, right? I mean, he's got 2+ years to improve on that. But at 6'2", 190, like, that's not bad either. I think people always think like 4.7 and above is bad. Like, 4.7 is kind of like that cutoff point, right? Like, if you're running a 4.7, you're a sophomore, rising junior, or you're, you know, a linebacker like Spezza, for example, like 4.7 is where it's like, okay, you want to see that or below. And for Ethan Long, he still has, you know, plenty of time to improve on that number. But also just really well, moved really well in space. I mean, as I didn't know a ton of the defensive backs there, so I watched him the majority of the time. And, you know, just one of those guys that's just a natural, right? I mean, just kind of easy, you know, looking back at the ball, whatever it is, like, it just all kind of came really easy to him. So I think there's a really good chance that we're talking about Ethan Long in a year from now is, you know, someone they're bringing in for an official visit or someone they're pushing really hard for, you know, when it comes to other things too, like the shuttle, the broad jump, those drills. I mean, he was like top 10 for all categories. So remembering the name Ethan Long, Brunswick School out of New England.
Another guy I'm going off script here, but I was looking at this morning, and this guy jumped out immediately to me in the lineup as well at safety, Braswell Thomas. Now, I'm a little murky on if he's a 26 or if he's a 25, and that will determine a little bit of like his long-term interest, but good testing numbers, you know, not great testing numbers, I would say, but good testing numbers, good size, and like I said, depending on what position, you know, what year he is, in terms of 25 or 26. This is a guy that looked the part yesterday. I didn't get to see him do a lot of the testing, but ran a decent 40, had the size, and kind of where you start with this, Ryan. Like, you know, you got to first identify who looks like a football player out there and then who looks like a Penn State football player out there, and then you can go from there of finding more information out. So he's one guy that stood out to me.
Yeah, Braswell earned an offer from Penn State. I think it was in March. I think he came up for a visit in March, and then he returned for the blue-white game, I believe. He's a 2025 guy. Yeah, he's definitely a 2025 guy. And, you know, at one point I thought he would maybe be a receiver. Looks like he's going to be more of a safety here moving forward. But, you know, has a handful of quality offers. Tennessee, Georgia, Nebraska, a couple other schools, right? I mean, so he's certainly been on the radar. Sadly, I didn't know he was there until like towards the end yesterday. I feel bad on that one because I usually do a pretty good job looking at that list. But I woke up so early trying to write three commitment stories and stay on track everything that I didn't do a great job going through the list yesterday. But yeah, I didn't get to watch a ton of Broswell, but yeah, he's been on the radar for a little while now. Certainly a guy I need to learn a little more about, but tested well, as you said.
So round us out here. Who are the other guys that you're looking at, you noticed and you want to talk about here on the show?
Well, Gronk was back. Ethan Gronkmeyer, we haven't mentioned him yet. No testing or anything, but we know what Ethan's done. He's been two camps at Penn State now, did Under Armour camp, did Elite 11. You know, he's a solid 4A kind of guy. I mean, it doesn't matter for quarterbacks, right? He needs to be able to move, but it's how well he throws. And that's, we saw a lot of the same things yesterday that we saw at the Elite 11. Really throws well on the move. I mean, it's kind of funny. Like, those are supposed to be the hardest throws, and they kind of come off as the easiest throws to him at times, which is interesting. But it was good to see him yesterday throwing with – we didn't get to see him throw with Peter as much as we thought, just because Peter wasn't really doing those one-on-one drills as much as we were hoping for B-roll and film purposes. But, Gronk looked fine. Trying to think of a few other guys we got to mention here. I'm looking down through my list. We did here's a guy. Go ahead. Go ahead, Timo.
I was gonna suggest Darian Williams.
Yes. Yeah, I'll hit on Darian first. 2026, is he a corner? Is he a wide receiver? I know when we were watching, we both thought wide receiver was kind of where he looked a little more natural. He's a young kid, though, down from Florida. So whenever you're coming up here, he's going to be a sophomore this year, coming up to camp, right? Like there's a reason he's up here, right? And he's certainly – that I think Penn State's going to pursue down the road. Another guy who ran really well, sub 4.4, sub 4.5, 4.4 range. Like, he's going to move really well. He's going to be a top prospect or anything like that, but there's a reason Penn State has him coming up here. So keep an eye on him. But T-Frank, here's a kid we haven't discussed yet that I was just kind of discussing with some people before we did this. His name is Saxton Suhanik, I believe it is, from Central York.
So, yes.
So he's a local guy. That I didn't know a ton about, 2025, camped really well yesterday. Just going through, just talking to people and how he tested. I would have seen him more, as far as field drills, because that's something I got to get a better feel for how he performed. But, just from a testing perspective, really stacked up, as you would expect, right? 4.5s and, doing shuttles in the 4.4 range, just kind of those things that you expect to see from young defensive backs. And he stacked up really well. And, oh, by the way, size 6'2", 180. Like, there you go. Yep. You got the long reach. You got everything you want there. And, oh, by the way, he's from Central York. So let's keep an eye on Saxon here. I made sure to give him a follow today because I think he's going to be a player we're talking about here in the months ahead.
I was – so just how it worked out, we're not allowed to go wherever we want. You have to stay within certain areas. And I was around the DBs when they were running 40s. And he was a guy that immediately, when I was watching them warm up and running a 40, he was a guy that I starred. But the defensive backs then, when they go into the field drills, were on the other side of the field. So I couldn't follow that group throughout the day. Plus, we're looking at the guys for the 2024 class. But he was absolutely one that I had an eye on as well. That he's going to be quality prospect for Penn State.
Yeah, no offers yet, which actually kind of surprised me a little bit when I was going through. But he has done some visits to other schools and stuff, and I just think as he gets out and does more camps this year, I don't think he's did any Under Armour or any of those kind of camps, which you got to get invited to those, so that's probably part of the reason why. But I just think as more word gets out on him, because he's not going to just camp at Penn State. I'm sure he's going to go to I would assume he's going to go to Rutgers, Maryland, some other schools throughout the region. As that word begins to travel, and then, obviously they'll watch his first, three, four, five games of the season. Just don't be surprised at all if he's picking up some offers here in the fall, because testing wise and stuff really looked pretty good.
So last call for guys that you want to mention, because we got one final segment to get to, and that is the result of all of this. Did Penn State offer anybody yesterday? So anybody else you want to shout out before we get to that?
Not too much. I mean, Alexander Haskell is going to be a good prospect. Defensive end, came up from St. Joseph Prep. Keep an eye on him. He's a 2026 guy, but good size, moved pretty well. I think he'll be someone we're talking
great
about.
Great through the D-line drills. Really good through the D-line drills. Looked like he's well coached and has a lot of positional skill.
Yeah, I need to learn more on Dominic Toy. He's kind of the only 2024 guy we didn't hit on. You know, just I've heard mixed things on how he tested and things like that. But he's a guy that I think, you know, I need to speak with people that worked with him all here. Not Deion Barnes. The cable office isn't going to hit up Deion Barnes. That's not how it works, guys. But, you know, people that actually had a better feel for how he was on, you know, field drills and stuff like that yesterday. Yeah. So we'll see how that shapes up.
I can actually help there because I was you know, 10 feet from him during the field drills. Very raw. Like, just like you see on film, very raw. Look, you know, one of the things I was really impressed with, by the way, as a bit of a side note, is Deion Barnes is an excellent communicator. So not just with Toy, but like when guys were going through a drill, he immediately noticed what they did wrong, how to correct it, and gave like specific instructions. And I know you would say like, well, duh, he's a college football coach, but not every college football coach is like that. Not every college football coach is a great communicator and is so instantly perceptive about what a guy is doing and not doing. And Toy, I personally think he's a little bit tight, and seeing him up and close in person, that was a lot of the issues he was working through. But also, he just all the technique he was doing, it looked like it was the first time. So it was also hard to get a read on him in that environment. So I think he's very much a guy that they're going to have to continue to watch and continue to, I don't want to say work with, but like see how he develops. There's still some development there, I'd say, to go before really anything else can happen. Testing numbers were okay. That was the other thing, is he's a project player, so he's got all of the size and length and all those things. Testing was okay, but also I watched his 40. His technique was bad, so he's going to run slower than he actually is because his technique was bad. So it's like, it is just project from start to finish, really, with Toy.
Okay.
All right.
About the future of Penn State, there's a lot of excitement. This is a really, really important day to a bunch of young men and their families.
And they put out a couple of offers yesterday, including an offensive lineman, I think, for 2026. So what information do you have on the guys that we have here for this segment?
His first offer, Marlon Bright. I don't know much because this was his first real offer. I mean, Bucknell offered him, right? And then you go, how crazy has got to be to get a Bucknell offer on May 2nd and then a Penn State offer a month later, right? I mean, I actually know some people at Bucknell, like, you know, just obviously those programs aren't really on the same level right now. But 6'5", 240, I think that's the main thing you got to know out of DePaul Catholic, young up-and-coming offensive line prospect. Just, you know, size stacks up, tested okay, you know, but he's obviously pretty young. And to me, this is a, hey, look, you look like you have the potential. We're going to offer you now. You know, these are, we got to see how you grow. We got to see how you do academically. We got to see all these things before this is a committable offer, as we like to call it sometimes. But, you know, this is how Penn State does it now, man. They hand out a ton of offers with, I don't want to say conditions, right? It's just, we want to see how you progress and things will go from there. But I just think they were really impressed with his size and, you know, coachability, things like that.
And then I think there was another one yesterday. Do you have anything on Amari Irvin?
Another young kid, right? I don't have him in front of me at the moment, so I apologize. I don't know a ton. I'm trying to remember. Where is he from? Is he a Florida kid? I think he was a Florida kid, I want to say. Here, I'm pulling him up now. Yeah, 5'11", 188, running back. 2027, I guess, which I don't know. Is that
there
like,
was a couple of running backs
in school, at that point?
To talk over you. They were so far away from me for most of the day that I didn't get a good look on any of the running backs this year. But
I don't think he was at camp yesterday, T. Frank. I think that was just
I'm sorry. Out. Okay.
Like, you know, just a normal offer. I don't believe he was at camp yesterday. Cause I think that offer was actually Saturday. Just to clarify, but, you know, and again, 2027 running back offer. I mean, he's got Oregon. I saw Oregon was another school that offered, which is interesting. So, I mean, he's clearly going to be the real deal. He's got actually a couple others, Nebraska and Louisville as well. So, you know, something there, but, we'll talk about him in 2026.
And just as we always do with Beyond Blessed, this segment is a mixed bag. Stuff on Marlon Bright, and then Amari Irvin, never heard of him. Thought he was at camp, definitely wasn't. Anything else before we get out of here, Ryan?
Keeping an eye on visitors throughout the week. That'll be something I'm working on here over the next 24 hours. You know, just unofficial visitors, right? Obviously, the next official visit weekend, this upcoming weekend, will be massive. 20-plus players. It'll feature the majority of the committed kids, though. So I think it'll actually be less uncommitted kids than this past weekend. But there's going to be guys added to it. Just, I mean, how many, what, they added like three kids over the last, what, 48 hours or so leading into Friday. So same old, man. Getting recaps. You know, we're going to catch up with Peter Gonzalez, hopefully, recapping some of the other guys. I got Jalen Hornsby, who I'm literally supposed to be calling in 1 minute from now. So we got a ton on our plate. And look, man, if you're ever going to subscribe, I know we do this all the time. It's $1 for 3 months right now. Like, genuinely, if there's ever a time to subscribe, it's for all the news that's going to come over the next 30-some days.
Yeah, and you've been pumping that one. I think $50 for the entire year might even be a better deal.
That's great, too, yeah.
Because you get a full year of access for an extreme discount. So whichever way you want to go, we got your information. And I don't normally do this until I got it in the bag, but I've been working on this one for about 2.5 weeks now. I'm pretty confident it's going to happen. Brad Mandler and I are going to be talking here in just a little bit. That's going to be on the Wednesday show, the Blue White Illustrated Live, which is normally our football show, specifically Penn State football. So we're going to be talking about Ethan Grunkmeyer, Drew Aller, quarterbacks. I love talking to Brad Mandler. He is such a great resource in terms of what's actually going on at the quarterback position. So you're going to learn a whole lot when we talk to him. That's coming up later this week. So stay tuned for that. I'm Thomas Frankhart. That is Ryan Snyder. We got to get going because there's so much more stuff we're bringing to you here from Blue White Illustrated. So subscribe wherever, all the things. We'll talk to you in just a little bit.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.